siguro walang usapin. There's no issue that is more in the mind of many, in the talks of many, than matters that have to do with work, job, income, and things that pertain to our life in this world. And many times natatanong tayo bilang mga Kristiyano, what do you say of issues concerning money, concerning finances? Well, this is the time of the year we are preparing as a church to discuss our budget, and I believe that it is responsible to do so. Hindi dapat tayo bara-bara pagdating sa pananalapi na ipinagkakatiwala sa atin ng Panginoon. Kaya meron tayong taunan na pag-uusap bilang disiplinado na pagtalakay ng ating pananalapi. I believe that is right and responsible for the church so to do. And we will do that. And it is the time of the year, therefore, that we are discussing matters pertinent to biblical teachings concerning money, our attitude, the Word of God, what the Word of God says concerning this. Dalawang bagay ang pambalanse rito. Una, this should not be a preoccupying emphasis in our discussion and in our proclamation. It should not preoccupy us. And you know, kung kayo matagal lang dumadalo o regular na dumadalo sa ating iglesia, you rarely hear it from the pulpit, precisely because that should not be an emphasis, that should not be the preoccupation of our message. Kaya yung palagi na lang na maririnig mo pera, offering, naniniwala akong mali ang ganong diwa. So that is not something that characterizes our church. On the other hand, the Bible does teach about how the Christians should expect blessings in terms of the temporary and material sufficiency. Kaya may mga panahon na marapat lamang na ating pag-usapan. At ang ginagawa natin tuwing January, kahit medyo autistic, ay pinag-uusapan natin yan dahil ito ay makakatulong sa atin na makapaghanda para sa ating budgetary discussion. Ngayong taon, sa dalawang installment, ay titingnan natin yung mga pangako. What are the promises that we can use pertaining to giving? And here, we are looking at something of a danger. Any promises pertaining to any area of the Christian life will have wrong use and right use. Kahit anong pangako yan, may kinalaman man yan sa ministeryo, may kinalaman sa spiritual graces, may kinalaman sa mga pamumunga natin, sa mga iba't ibang biyaya. Any area of the Christian life, I believe every predicament has a sufficient promise, but then there is a wrong use of God's promises, there is the right use of God's promises. Well, the danger here is when it comes to giving, promises to giving, the wrong use is maximized. It is at its maximum. Yung napakadaling gamitin ng mali ang mga pangako ng Diyos pagdating sa mga bagay na may kinalaman sa pagbibigayan. You will hear it from preachers, from pastors, from ordinary Christians, how they use promises and how they interpret providences by using the promises wrongly. At sisimulan natin ngayong umaga sa dalawang yugto ng ating pag-aaral, itong mga bagay na may kinalaman sa mga pangako ng Diyos. What is the place of promises to giving? The reason why we need to study this and especially beware of the wrong use of these promises is because there is a rampant use of the promises to giving that is carnal. And by carnal, I mean it is unspiritual. It is not according to the Holy Spirit. Maaring gumagamit ng Biblia, maaring nag-re-recite ng mga verses, pero ang paggamit ay napakamakalaman, hindi ayon sa banal na Espiritu. And this is promoted specially by many Bible teachers and preachers to attract following and of course, funding. Here is one.
When you give the 10% to the Father, then you begin the journey of the Father's hand of blessing upon your life, beginning with spiritual riches and then riches that you want, temporarily, financially, that the Father will provide you because He can use you for His glory here and there. And I am your model and example for that.
So, siya raw ang model. Eh, talagang makikita natin mamaya, model yan ng mga kayamanan daw sa kanya. Ito pang isa na sinabi niya.
For the shades of death,
it is a wrong teaching, it is a wrong doctrine that the church has taught. Poverty is not a virtue. Poverty is the cause of sin. Poverty is a prison house that you wanted to get out of.
This is your time for deliverance.
Itong bansang Pilipinas, gusto niyo pagpalaya tayo lahat. Lahat tayo magbigay ng ating kapo sa templo ng Ama para lalo mapalaganap ang kanyang layunin ang lahat ng tao ay mawala ng serpensin at maging mga anak ng Diyos. Tingnan niyo kung gagawin niyo. Pagpapalang katakot-takot ang babag sa kanyang.
Get hold of this complete package of blessings as the anointed son of man, pastor of Holy City Manila, unlocks the Father's financial plan for your life. Find out more about these great spiritual treasures in the revelation messages of the anointed son of man on the second pillar of kingdom revelation, the financial.
Yan, financial revolution. Nakita niyo ba yung kanyang claim? The appointed son of God. My hair stand on end with such blasphemous claim. But besides that, yung kanyang turo na basta magbigay ka, katakot-takot na mga pagpapalang kayamanan ang naghihintay para sa inyo. This is so gross and so galling, and yet this is something that attracts so many. This is the reason why Apollo Kibuloy has a great number of following, dahil marinig mo man yan at ikaw ay naghihikahos at marinig mo sa mga katulad niya, ako ang modelo, kayamanan ang naghihintay sa inyo kapag kayo nagbigay sa aking ministeryo. So you have people from all walks of life doing their thing in order that they may be enriched, because yan ang pangako ng appointed son of God. At kung kaya naman, yan ang si Kibuloy mismo. Ito ang kanyang mansyon. Isa sa kanyang mga mansyon. Now, is this what God has promised? This is what they say. He's only one of the more shameless, but there are many of them who will tell us that the way to rich, the way to riches is giving. At marami ang nagbibigay ng kanilang mga patotoo ng prosperidad na ibinigay sa kanila ng Diyos dahil sa kanilang pagbibigay. Kaya ang nangyayari ay nagiging formula. This creates a powerful attraction to followers because of their desire to prosper. Sinong hindi gustong yumaman? Eh, kapag yan ang sikreto para sa pagyaman, gagawin mo kung lalo't makita mo siya raw ang modelo at marami pang mga nagpapatotoong ganyan. Now, this carnal use of the promises of God reduces giving to a business trade-off with God. Parang ang nakipag-negosyo sa Diyos. Bigyan kita ng ganit, parang puhunan, etong kaloob ko, at parang naging puhunan, dapat merong return of investment. At yung return of investment sa mga sinasabi nilang katakot-takot na mga pagpapala ay nagiging pang-akit. It becomes a compelling attraction to many because they want to be rich, they want to prosper. But they use promises. Let's look at two of the favorite promises na kanilang ginagamit. Ito ang isa, basahin natin sa Tagalog. Dahil gustong-gusto nila ito sa Tagalog. Lucas 6:38, magbigay kayo at iyon ay ibibigay sa inyo. Hustong takal, siniksik, susiniksik, niliglig, at umaapaw ang ilalagay nila sa inyong kandungan, sapagkat sa panukat na inyong ipanukat ay doon din kayo susukatin. So, ginagamit nila yun ngayon. They use a promise like this, a verse like this, to say that if you give so much, then God will give even more abundantly. The idea is it's a tit for tat. Or perhaps one measure of your giving, you can expect double measure, or perhaps triple measure. In the way that God will give back. So you see, the idea is formula. And here is another. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. The point is this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. And what happens here is the idea of trade-off under carnal claims, they become a formula. A formula that says God blesses in proportion to our giving. Yung bang ibibigay ng Diyos kung anong magkano ang ibinigay mo, ang ibabalik niya ay proportion doon sa iyong ibinigay. So parang nangyari, to illustrate it, parang combination. Nakuha mo yung combination sa cash safe ng Diyos. O kapag meron kang giving, tithing, na in a sense, it is comic. In another sense, I feel so grieved by such materializing of God's dealing with us. So parang nakuha mo yung combination ng luck ng Panginoon. Kapag ikaw ay may giving, may tithing, you get the right combination. At yan, kuha mo ang mga pagpapala ng Diyos mula sa kanyang safe. Maraming cash yan. So, ganyan ang nangyayari sa paggamit nila ng mga pangako ng Diyos. And there is some plausibility kung hindi mo pag-aaralan yung mga pangako at hindi mo ihahambing, if you don't compare it hermeneutically to the whole witness of Scripture, it is so easy to get dragged into these claims of promises. So let us get the correct sense of promises like we have seen in Luke 6, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. They are simply assuring Christians of the generosity of God's blessings. Pero hindi ito pangako ng prosperidad. I challenge anyone, I defy anyone to show me a text in the New Testament that tells us a promise of prosperity. No, gagamitin nila yung lumang tipan. Ito nga yung mali sa kanilang hermeneutics. Remember in the Old Testament, God's covenant was with Israel and the blessing was centered upon the land. If they are faithful, the faithfulness of the people of God will be evident in bountiful harvest. So there is something material, something that has to do with livelihood in the Old Testament, which is not so in the New Testament. We need to be careful hermeneutically. So there is no promise of prosperity, no promise of certain prosperity. Now let me make myself clear. I'm not saying to be rich is wrong. No. There are instructions in the New Testament how the rich should serve God and serve the church. Pero hindi sinabi, walang pangako na bibigyan niya tayo ng kayamanan kapag tayo ay matapat sa ating pagbibigay. That is to reduce giving to a business trade-off with God, which is very, very carnal. And that is what is happening. And tingnan ang dapat nating kilalanin, God's promise, may promise sa Panginoon. But the promise is not prosperity. What is the promise? 2 Corinthians 9:8. Yung ginamit nila kanina 9:6, kung itinuloy lang nila, nandito sa 2 Corinthians 9:8. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times. What is the promise? The promise is sufficiency. Kasapatan. Hindi prosperity. Sufficiency in all things. May promise ng abundance. Pero abundance in what? At all times, you may abound in every good work. So, sufficiency in all things, abundance in good work. Binabaligtad dyan ng maraming Kristiyano. Gusto nila abundance in all things, sufficiency in good work. Pakinggan nyo sila. Oh, naka-attend na tayo ng morning service. Tama na yun. So, sufficiency in good work. Pero gustong-gusto nila, mayaman sila sa mga bagay. Mayaman sa pananalapi. Binabaligtad nila ang pangako ng Diyos, kasapatan sa mga bagay, pero upang yung kasapatan na yun, gamitin natin upang sumagana sa mga mabubuting gawa. We are made sufficient in all things so that we may abound in good works. And if you are not using your things to abound in good works, then you are misusing it. And don't expect God to make you sufficient if you are not going to use your things to abound in good works. Here is another promise. Philippians 4:19. And I love this. And my God will supply every need of yours according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. This is even a better translation in ESV than in what we are usually familiar with sa NKJV. God will supply all your need. Ito, every need of yours. Bawat isang pangangailangan. But here is the point. Let God define your needs. Huwag mong i-define ang need mo. Etong kailangan ko, Panginoon, mansyon. O Lexus. Huwag mong i-define ang iyong pangangailangan. Ang Diyos ang nakakaalam ng iyong pangangailangan. At kapag alam ng Diyos na kailangan mo, ito'y Kanyang ibibigay, ipagkakaloob. Ibig sabihin, kung hindi ipinagkakaloob pa, ituring mo na hindi pa kailangan. Bibigyan Kanya ng biyaya para madala mo ang iyong kalagayan without pressing on something which you say is your need when God is saying, not yet, my son. So, pag nagpipilit ka, eh doon pumapasok yung angal, yung tampo sa Panginoon, hinanakit na hindi nararapat. So, this is the promise. There is no promise of prosperity in the New Testament. Again, I challenge anyone to show me any promise of prosperity. There is none whatsoever. And yet, sa maraming mga bagay, maraming mga tao ang pipilitin ito. So, God's promise of sufficiency, and this is the principle. Sincere giving is not conditioned on receiving back. Hindi ko na nailagay yun. Sa Acts 20, sinabi ni Pablo, it is better to give than to receive. At yan ay citation niya from Jesus. It is better to give than to receive. And then the language of the Lord Jesus, when you give to those who will not be able to return. And when you lend, do not expect to return. So the principle is, yung sincere na pagbibigay, hindi nag-iisip, oh, malaki ibabalik dito sa akin. So, magbibigay ako ng maluwag dahil mas maluwag ang Diyos. That is so carnal. Kaya yan ang isang ingatan natin na huwag mangyari. At yan ang nangyayari sa marami. Let me warn you of the perils of these carnal claims. Anong ginagawa niyan sa mga Kristiyano? To profess carnal claims yields to unchristian ways. And let me warn you of those three perils of these carnal claims. Kapag nagsimula kang mag-angkin na pag nagbigay, magbibigay lalo ang Diyos ng kayamanan, ang unang ginagawa niyan, they animate the sin of covetousness. Yung masamang paghahangad. Covetousness is undue desire for material possession. And you have here, you attend assemblies of this sort, you will hear testimonies commonplace in meetings about their financial blessings. Naghihirap sila, nangangailangan sila, dumalangin sila, o kaya ipinanalangin ni pastor ganito o apostol ganito at ibinigay yung kanilang pangangailangan and so forth and so on. And they think that is richness. I find them so poor. Don't they have any more experience of God than finances? When God's dealing with His people is so rich, so varied, so abundant, and all you hear from these people are finances, puro pananalapi. And the open and hidden message is that the bigger the giving, the more prosperity. You read this in popular books such as this by L.E. Mayer. As you tithe, so you prosper. So a series of four lessons in tithing. Yes, again, when you tithe, you prosper. Where did he get this? Saan niya nakuha yung bagay na yan? And many gimmicks are being employed in order to encourage more giving with a lot of manipulation. Eh, napakasama nito. Even a local pastor many years ago wrote a book with a title, How to Get Money from God. And it became a bestseller, ubus agad. So he wrote a second edition, and the second edition has the title, How to Get More Money from God. This is so galling. Yep, yan ang nangyayari. And many times prosperity is spiritualized. into the sign of God's delight in the giver. Parang pinasabi niya, tingnan niyo ako. Iyan ang sinabi ni Kibuloy kanina. I am your model. Parang sinasabi niya, kinagluguran ako ng Diyos. At ang tanda na ako'y kinaluguran ng Diyos, ang ebidensya ay kayamanan. They have spiritualized prosperity into the sign of God's delight, God's blessing. No, my friend, this is not the sign of God's delight. There are better and surer signs of God's delight in a man, in a woman, than just prosperity. And the reason why this is wrong is because of the very straightforward teaching of the Scripture. 1 Timothy 6. But those who desire to be rich, hindi sinabing to be rich, but those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. This is true, and I understand this exegetically, but let me tell you, this has been affirmed to me experientially, meaning as I observed it in many, many professing Christians who were sincere and faithful, at least externally, in the days of their adversity, and once they were in prosperity, they wander away. So, well, hindi pwedeng i-sanctify natin yung desire to be rich. Hindi pwede i-sanctify ang love of money. They are considered root of evil. At ito ang ginagawa ng carnal claims. Pinag-aalab yung hangad na yumaman, and this is wrong. Another thing that is unchristian about these carnal claims is that they militate against Christian graces. And by Christian graces, we mean the character fruit of the Spirit. Marami yan. Pero let me single out three na nawawala, hindi namumunga sa ganitong carnal claims. Una, yung faith. Faith in essence is trust. And trust means, whatever my condition, I will trust the Lord that He will do what is right. He will do what is good for me. That's trust. In the hands of carnal claims, faith has been redefined. Faith has come to mean claim. Claim the promise. So you give this much, now you may claim. Eh, parang ginawang voucher. Ito, meron akong binigay na ganito. I expect so much from the Lord. And this is not faith. Faith is trust, whatever the Lord will do. Yan yung point ng Philippians chapter 4. I have learned to be abased, and I have learned to abound. Whether abundance or abasement, I can do all things through Christ. That's faith. Trusting that God will do to him according to the power of Christ. Pero pakinggan nyo ngayon ang Philippians 4:13. Pag ginamit na ng ganitong carnal claim, magnenegosyo ako. Tiyak na tutubo. Tiyak akong yayaman. Bakit? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Yung naging I can do all things nila, nangahulugan na kahit anong gawin ko pag sa pangalan ng Panginoon, yayaman ako. Eh hindi yun ang konteksto. Ang konteksto, whether abased or abounding, you will be faithful to the Lord. And they have changed faith. Another is contentment. Ito palang nalampasan ko ang kanilang mga gimmicks. After the tithe is paid, how much farther the balance goes? Nabigay na nila yung tithe, may aasahan na sila, may balance ang Panginoon para sa kanila. Para bang nagkautang ang Panginoon dahil nakapagbigay sila. This is so grossly carnal kapag ilagay natin ito sa Panginoon. But in terms of contentment, this is what the Bible says. Godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. But if you have food and clothing, now does that sound prosperous? Food and clothing? If you have food and clothing, with this, we will be content. Contentment is an important Christian grace. Contentment is peace and satisfaction with a lot that we cannot change. One of the greatest Puritan books, and I hope you can obtain one, is by Jeremiah Burroughs, The Rare Jewel of Christian Contentment. It's one of the books that has had a great impact on me. And ang isang point niya riyan ay yung idea ng marami, contentment means addition. Diba? Ah, pag nagkaroon ako ng ganito, kontento na ako. Pag nakuha ko ang ganito, makokontento na ako. Pag nagkabahay at lupa ako, kontento na ako. Nakuha nila, hindi pa rin sila kontento. Magdaragdag na naman sila. Eto naman, kontento na ako. Ang sabi ni Jeremiah Burroughs, contentment, the secret of contentment is not addition but subtraction. Meaning, diminish your desire. Desire for material things. Instead, shift it or redirect it to spiritual things. And let the Lord add as He may be pleased to do so. So contentment ay napakahalaga po nito. Marami ang hindi makapagbigay ng atensyon sa paglilingkod sapagkat abala ang kanilang puso sa mga bagay na gusto pa nilang makuha. Contentment is an important Christian grace, and this is not going to thrive in carnal claims. So then another grace is gratitude. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Give thanks in all circumstances. Ulitin niyo yan. All circumstances. Isipin mo ang circumstances mo ngayon. Is there something that you can be grateful about? That's what this text is saying. There's something there in your circumstances that can make you be thankful to the Lord for. Be thankful, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So yan ang isang bagay na nawawala rin pagdating sa mga carnal claims. When prosperity is not attained, under carnal claims, they blame lack of faith. Kasi kulang ang pananampalataya mo, kaya hindi ka yumayaman. Whereas the right perspective is to see that God has already given to us the richest of gifts. Hindi ibibigay pa lamang, ibinigay na ng Diyos ang pinakamayaman niyang maibibigay, at yan ang ating Panginoon. Thanks be to God for His inexpressible gift. And it is in the context of the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Romans 8:32, He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? So the peril of carnal claims is that it will not animate, it will militate against Christian graces. And then, thirdly, they deviate the ministry from its message. It distorts the gospel of salvation. It becomes a prosperity gospel, meaning a gospel of becoming rich. And you will see this in pulpit discourses. They have heavy emphasis on calls to give as a sign of faithfulness. Eh, kuminsan, marami pa silang gimmick niya. Sobre, mga gimmick para ikaw ay makapagbigay. And this is changing the face of the ministry. Compare this to preachers. On top is, of course, the reformer Martin Luther, a faithful preacher who suffered much in his ministry. Below is one of the more shameless ones in our current generation, Benny Hinn. And he will directly ask for giving as a sign of faithfulness and promise point blank all kinds of prosperity that will attend your life if you give to his ministry. And it is changing the face of preaching. Eh, hindi lang yan yung mga nakikinig mismo. The world is watching. And they can see the hypocrisy of it all. Preachers are supposed to be for spiritual things. And they hear this from preachers like Benny Hinn. And what would they conclude? Kaya ang effect nito, hindi lang mismo sa mga dumadalo sa mga iglesia, ay nagbabago ang pagtingin ng mundo sa ministeryo. And the ministers themselves, they distort textual interpretation and application. Kaya may mga ganito na para bang may Midas touch. Alam niyo si Midas, ano man ang hipuin niya, ginto. Itong mga preachers na ito, ano mang teksto nila, giving. Giving ang application. Takan-taka naman. Minsan napapahanga ako sa kanilang galing na makita yung giving sa teksto na hindi ko makita. Pero kitang-kita agad nila. Ay, napaka mali ang gamit ng teksto. And promises are used as attraction to give with a promise of prosperity. So we need to reject this. Many ministers become beholden to the givers in the congregation. They won't preach anything that will offend these people. So they become unfaithful to the text just not to offend the givers of the congregation. We need to recover the fact that the gospel is what God has given by grace through Christ. We see that in the most popular verse of the Bible. For God so loved the world that He gave. And what did He give? Not prosperity. He gave His only begotten Son. Salvation is the greatest gift of God to man. So let us recover here the principle that giving is an act of worship. Hindi ito investment. Hindi ito trade-off. When you give, and we have giving in this church, but when you give, pinapaalala madalas yan ng mga song leaders at tama iyon na ito ay pagsamba. And Hebrews 13, through Him, then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of lips, that acknowledge His name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. So binanggit yung sacrifice of praise, pero kasama sa sacrifice, yung handog natin sa Kanya, is giving. When we give, we are worshiping God. And what is worship? Worship is response to what God has already done, what God has already given. Kaya kung magbibigay ka at nasa isip mo ay, oh, ito Panginoon, sa'yo yan, ibalik mo ng mas marami. Eh, hindi yun worship. Ang worship ay nagre-respond ka sa kabutihan sa iyo ng Diyos. So, the last thing that we need to understand is, you may be asking, but Pastor, can we really pray for provision? My answer is definitely yes. But that prayer is given to us in very clear example in the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. Now I'll come back to that, but let me just give you this challenge. Let us reject the carnal motive of seeking prosperity in our giving. Sa ating pagbibigay, tanggalin natin ang makalaman na motibo na naghihintay at umaasa ng ibibigay pabalik ng Diyos kapag tayo nagbigay. Kung kayong tanungin ko, what do you see in this petition? What does this petition impress upon you? Halimbawa, isang bagay, it tells us that prayer should be daily. Because prayer is give us this day. Eh, hindi ka naman siguro magpapalampas ng araw na hindi ka kakain. So, meaning, prayer should be daily. But of the prayer itself, anong nakikita nyo sa prayer na yan? Give us this day our daily bread. Can anyone tell me? Hindi naman ibig sabihin tinapay lang ang gusto nating kainin. But bread, of course, represents sustenance. All kinds of sustenance. But what does this tell you? Yung prayer na yan. Anyone? Carol.
Pastor, yung give us this day our daily bread. We don't pray like give us this much for the whole year, for the whole month, the whole week, but just for this day. Ang ano rin, Pastor Dennis, for me, we really have to come to God in prayer daily, not just once a day, but several times a day to ask for His sustenance, because in essence, He is really the one. Everything will really come from Him.
Yeah, nandiyan yun. Daily bread. So that means not yearly, not for a lifetime. Just the daily bread is from the Lord. And therefore, to be received with satisfaction. Just one more thought. Anyone else? Who? Yeah. Thank you.
Total dependence.
Bread is a basic need. So, sa akin po, it's total dependence on Him in everything, from basic needs to other needs, every day.
That's right. Total dependence ang pinapakita niyan. Kung isipin mo, daily bread, it's very much within our access. Kaya nating bumili, gumawa, it's there within our reach. Yet, it is asked. That means total dependence upon the Lord. May gusto pa?
Yung iba, Pastor, yung daily bread is parang andyan lang talaga because they have enough, probably. Pero there are people na they really depend on God doon sa pang-araw-araw na parang era lang nila hanggang ngayon lang talaga. And tomorrow, they really don't know kung may darating nga. So, parang ito yung it's not only dependence, but it is trusting God that the next day there will be food on the table.
Right, and we know people who have what we call the hand-to-mouth existence, na talagang araw-araw ang kanilang sustento at hindi nila ang kinabukasan, but they depend upon the Lord. So isang bagay ito na ipinapakita na we can pray for provision, but with such total dependence and satisfaction, even of the minimum. Daily bread is the minimum. And that is what we may expect the Lord to give. And we can cite what the psalmist said in Psalm 37, I have been young and now I am old, but I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed or children begging bread. So the list of provision is from the Lord. And one more thing about this petition, remember that this is part of the Lord's prayer. Before this petition, there is the petition, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy will be done, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So yun ang mga nauna, a kingdom-centered orientation. Then, give us this day. Which means even the daily bread is in orientation to our kingdom service. Hindi na wawala doon. So ito yung mga bagay na dapat nating malaman. So any question or any thought you would like to raise or share? Anyone? Paul?
Pastor, isa po sa mga malimit na sinasite na biblical passage on prosperity is Malachi 3:10. People may be inclined to provide a very literal meaning to that passage. How would you sort of explain or counteract yung ganun pong interpretation?
Well, first of all, it is true. Malachi 3:10 is true. But it is true for Israel in the context of the Old Testament covenant. Ang covenant ng Panginoon sa Israel is bountiful harvest if they are faithful to Yahweh. And of course, as it turned out, Israel did not prove faithful. They broke the covenant. But if they had proven faithful to the covenant, yes, Malachi 3:10 would have proven true to them. But for a Christian in the New Testament to suddenly lay claim to Malachi 3:10 in a wooden application is false hermeneutics. Kaya yan ang sinasabi ko kanina na mag-ingat tayo sa mga ganyang walang ingat na paggamit ng mga talata sa lumang tipan na para bang eksaktong para sa atin, because Israel was a unique nation clearly indicated in the Davidic covenant, 2 Chronicles 7, 1 Samuel or 2 Samuel 7, sinabi ron, there is no nation like Israel. Kaya pag i-extend natin ito ng walang ingat sa ating kalagayan, that is a wrong use of the scriptures. Other thoughts? Carol?
Siguro, Pastor, yung in terms of giving financially and even yung tithing, it's good to ponder that everything, as in everything, even our abilities to work, the knowledge that we get, the time, whatever we have, even the strength or whatever source of capacity that we put on to earn something comes from God. And in the first place, even that, everything is His. So, even yung pag-re-return natin ng tithes is not enough. Because everything really comes from Him. So, it's not even enough for, we shouldn't even complain that this is what God gives us. Because lahat talaga nagagaling sa Kanya, and we should all the more be content. In fact, nakakahiya nga na yung tenth lang ang ibabalik natin sa Panginoon. It should really be more than that. Because it is His. It's not ours.
Exactly. May sinabi rin sa 2 Corinthians 9 na it is the Lord who gives seed and then bread from the raw materials to the finished product comes from the Lord. Kaya kasama na doon yung ating abilidad, talento, kakayahan. Deuteronomy 8:18 tells us it is He who gives you power to get wealth. So maging sa mga kakayahan natin, whether your job is in the academe, in business, in field work, research, or even practical things like laundry, lahat ng yun ay sa bigay na kakayahan ng Panginoon. And at any moment, God could withhold that. And therefore, diyan pumapasok yung tatlong biyaya na binanggit ko, faith, contentment, and gratitude. Pamela.
Pastor, kung ang isang Kristiyano ba ay ng increase sa sweldo from his employer, is it pangit? Wala ba siyang faith? Wala ba siyang contentment? Kailan ito pwedeng gawin ng Kristiyano, if ever?
Well, if he feels that it is something which is according to fair value, eh, kasama yan sa mga negosyo, kapag tayo nagdaragdag ng presyo, that's because you believe that that is fair marketing value. So, ganun din sa salary, it's something which is, you believe, the worker believes that it is in accordance with fairness. I don't believe it is wrong. I believe that we should also be content as far as the providence of God is concerned. But yung paghingi ng increase ay, basta wag lang siyang pastor. Pag-pastor, hindi siya pwede manghingi ng increase. Philippians chapter 4, sabi ni Paul, I do not speak according to need. So when the man of God is in need, he should rather not give language to it. But otherwise, I believe that yung income is a legitimate issue for fairness, yung looking for fairness, but always balance it with contentment even in an unfair structure. Ben.
Hello. Pastor, tatlong bagay po. Una, regarding dun sa effect ng prosperity preaching sa ibang tao, may na-meet akong person, ang testimony niya, ang tingin niya sa mga pastor, mga sinungaling. Lahat ng pastor ay sinungaling. Tapos tingin niya sa mga pastor ay puro pera lang ang habol nila. Ang advice nga niya sa akin, pag naging pastor ka, dapat magaling ka magsinungaling para marami kang perang makuha mula sa congregation. I think, yun yung isang napakapangit na epekto ng mga naririnig ng outsider dun sa mga preacher na puro pera na lang yung sinasabi sa pulpit. Second po ay, pwede niyo ba kaming bigyan ng what happened to the apostles, those who followed Christ? Meron tayong perfect examples ng mga sumunod sa Panginoon. Ano nangyari sa kanila in terms of material possession? Sila ba ay gumanda ba kanilang buhay materially or what? Yung pong third ay, yung 1 Timothy 6:9, merong mga Kristiyano na pwedeng sabihin na hindi naman masamang mag-desire na yumaman as long as maganda yung motive mo. Like, kung yayaman ako, pag nag-tithe ako, pag yung church ang magbe-benefit or pwede akong maggawa ng scholarship para sa mga mahirap na walang pambayad sa school. Kung kumita ako ng 1 million, 100,000 yung marireceive ng church. Mukhang maganda naman yung para sa church.
Well, una, dun sa nagiging pangit ang tingin sa mga nasa ministeryo, eh, totoo yan. Yun nga sinabi ko kanina, because of these carnal claims, hindi lang yung nasa church mismo ang affected, but the world is watching. And as the world watches, sometimes the world can see the inconsistency that churchgoers cannot. So sila pa yung nakakakita ng mali. Tanungin nyo si Mami Junisha. Junisha Pacquiao. Yan ang sinabi niya sa interview sa television. Yung mga pastor na nagkakandara pa kay Manny Pacquiao. Talagang pangit makita. So, but of course, that is, as any sweeping judgments are, unfair judgment. Not all in the ministry are masasabi nating gumagamit ng kasinungalingan para umaman. That is an unfair sweeping judgment. Now, as to the yung may motive namang maganda kung may desire siyang umaman, remember, desire to be rich is already motive. Huwag mong isipin na may motive ka sa desire to be rich. The desire to be rich is the motive. At tapos lalagyan na lang nila ng mga pampagaang, pampalubag. Now, I already said to be rich is not wrong. If in the course of your faithful labor and work and trade, the Lord enriches you, magpasalamat ka sa Panginoon at gamitin mo. May instructions sa 1 Timothy 6:17 and following how the rich should use their wealth in order to serve the kingdom of God and the people of God. So, there's nothing wrong about being rich and becoming rich in the course of faithful labor. But desire to be rich as such is already motive, which I challenge anyone to show me from 1 Timothy 6:9 ay mali. Mali ang interpretation natin na the desire to be rich, bidinagdagan pa ng love of money, is the root of all kinds of evil. So, becoming rich, not wrong. Being rich, not wrong. And using one's wealth to serve the Lord and to serve the people of God, that's good. But desire to be rich is in itself a motive that is wrong. And I'll stand by that. June.
Hindi po ako member ng simbahang ito, pero meron po akong napakagandang nakuha doon sa lesson sa umagang ito. Ano po? Ang inyo pong lingkod ay wala po akong permanenteng trabaho. Pero napatunayan ko po yung sinabing, yung pangako ng Panginoong Yeso Kristo na yung manalangin kayo ng give us this day our daily bread. Mula po sa permanenteng trabaho, napunta po ako sa isang kahig isang tukang pamumuhay. At yun po ay sa, yung part-time po pong yan ay sa transport. Nakita ko po na sa mga kapanahonan na kapag wala na talaga, yung pong wala na talaga, wala kang pera, na wala nang isasaing, sasabihin ng misis, mahal, wala na tayong pambili ng bigas. So, ang sabi ko lang sa misis ko, just pray, manalangin tayo, and God magbibigay ng ganon. Sa kadahilanan po, kaya po ako napapasok sa ganong sitwasyon, ay dahil mas pinili ko na mayroon akong higit na oras sa paglilingkod sa Diyos. Halimbawa po yung soul win, and at the same time, Bible studies. At yung araw po ng pagsamba ay ayaw ko pong mananakaw. Yan po'y para sa Diyos ko. Ano po? Ang akin pong gustong itanong ay ito, since na andon at hindi ako pinababayaan ng Diyos, tinutupad niya ang kanyang pangako sa akin, doon sa sitwasyon, nararapat po ba na tumanggap pa ako ng isang trabaho na kung saan financially stable yung magiging sitwasyon ko doon. Whereas, hindi ko natitiyak kung magagampanan ko pa yung aking pagsosolwining, pagba-Bible study, pagbibigay ng panahon, lalo't lalo sa pananambahan, araw ng Linggo para sa Panginoon. Kailangan ko po bang tumanggap pa ng trabaho just for the sake ng financial stability?
Maraming salamat sa iyong tanong. Una, magandang patutuo na sa panahon ng ating paghihikahos, doon muna susubok yung humingi ka sa Panginoon at siya'y magbibigay sa oras ng ating pangangailangan. Maganda yun at mabuting patutuo na masabi natin sa mga tao na hindi ako pinabayaan ng Panginoon sa oras ng aking pangangailangan. Kaya sa ikalawang sagot, ang mahalaga rito ay alamin mo kung saan ka tinatawag ng Panginoon. Maaring hindi tinatawag sa ministeryo na sa makatwid, ang isang kailangan niyang gawin ay maghanap ng trabaho para makapagtustos sa kanyang pamilya na ipipilit niya sa ministeryo, ay nagkakamali siya. 1 Timothy 5:8 is very clear. He who does not provide for his own household is like an unbeliever. Kaya maliwanag ang ganong prinsipyo. On the other hand, kung sa pananalig mo, ikaw ay tinawag ng Panginoon sa ministeryo ng pangangaral at doon mo gustong ibigay ang buhay mo, doon ka mananalangin na magbigay ang Panginoon ng provision na matustusan ka habang ikaw ay nagbibigay ng buhay mo sa ministeryo ng ayon sa kalooban ng Diyos. At ang kalooban ng Diyos sa ministeryo, ito ay sa pamamagitan ng pangangasiwa ng iglesia. So it must be under oversight of the church, and it is then the church that becomes responsible to take care of its ministers, its servants, because that is the way the Lord has arranged His kingdom work. And hindi maari na nagsasarili, nagmi-ministeryo, at umaasa na ibigay ng Panginoon ang kanyang ikatutustos sa paniniwala na sagot yon sa daily provision ng Panginoon. We need to be spiritual, yes. We need to be believing, yes. But we also need to be realistic and practical in terms of God's calling. The key question therefore is, has God called you to the ministry? If He has, is it under the right oversight of the church? If not, then for as long as you are in a situation where there is no sustained provision, it becomes your duty to provide for the family before soul winning. Baka magulat ka sa ganung pangungusap, but that is the clear teaching of Scripture. You are to provide for the family, so don't think na kaya prioritize ko ang soul winning, ang Bible study. Bahala na ang family. So, kinakailangan maging realistic, practical, and spiritual tayo sa pagsasabi nun. Kaya, pag sinabi sa'yo, Dear, wala na tayong sasaingin. Manalangin ka. Dear, ayaw pa rin magsindi. Nanalagi na ako. Wala pa rin. So, what I'm saying is, let us be both practical, spiritual, but there are clear teachings on how to provide for the family, even if you are a man called to the ministry. Other questions or other thoughts? Carol.
Pastor, I'll just add to what June said, yung sa panahon na talagang walang-wala, hindi mo alam kung saan ka kukuha nung kakainin mo. That's tama yung na-mention nyo na yung graces na nani-develop sa atin is yung faith. Mas lalo tayong mananampalataya sa Panginoon natin na may hawak ng lahat, na siya ang source ng lahat ng pangangailangan natin. At magkakaroon tayo ng yung sinasabi nga na kapayapaang hindi maipaliwanag ng mga tao. You will be contented and have that peace. Hindi ka mababahala sa kung ano yung kakainin mo the following day, because you know that it is God who will provide all those things. Of course, it doesn't mean that you will just sit at wala kang gagawin at hintayin mo na lang umambon ng pagkain mo or what. But we still have to do our part in working. But at the same time, mas lalong naipapakita sa atin ng Panginoon na kung sino talaga siya, siya is soberano. At we get to appreciate more the things that we don't appreciate before, like the beauty of nature, yung araw-araw may tubig tayong naiinom, may pagkain tayong nakukuha kahit saan, at yung mga bagay na before hindi talaga natin napapansin or natitake for granted. So those graces are really deep, and it should not excuse us from still giving tithes kahit baon tayo sa utang, or basta as long as we have something from the Lord, we should really give back something to Him as form of gratitude and worship, praises to Him for sustaining us amidst our circumstances.
Yes, and I second the point na the duty of giving is for all, because God is good to all. Huwag natin isipin giving duty yan ng mga mayayaman, ng mga may kaya. Ang pagbibigay bilang pagsamba ay gawain ng lahat. Kaya nga isang bagay ito na dapat nating tinitingnan talagang ginagawa natin. No matter how little you give, remember the one commendation Jesus extended to giving was of the widow who gave a mite. Nakapiraso lang yun. Pero hindi yung mga mayayaman nagbigay ng kanilang extra ang na-comment, kundi yung nagbigay ng kanyang, yung tinatawag nating the widow's mite. So, but I will also stress that part of how God gives to us is faithful labor. Proverbs 14:23. For every labor, there is a profit. At yung pagbibigay ng Panginoon is on honest labor. So, let's not forget that. 2 Corinthians 9, between the seed and the bread, is not just a praying man. Ang tinawag ron, farmer. So, there is the farmer between the raw material and putting it into finished product that is profitable, there is a laborer. So let's not demean labor as though it is inferior to the more quote-unquote spiritual activities. Other thoughts? Which, by the way, means na we should be praying for our jobs. Pinapanalangin natin yung ating mga trabaho, yung kailangan nating lakas, talento, karunungan, at yung mga bunga ng ating tinatrabaho, tamang ipanalangin ang mga bagay na kasama yun dun sa give us this day our daily bread. Any other thought or testimonies, questions? So sana maging hamon sa atin ito na makatotohanan ang mga pangako ng Diyos, pero wag nating gamitin sa makalaman. At hindi ito negosyo, hindi ito pagbibigay para tayo may makuha, kundi ipinapakita lamang na we can never outgive the Lord as far as His blessings are concerned, but His blessings must not be measured exclusively in material, financial, temporal things. And this is where we must challenge these carnal claims, and if there is in any way a carnal motive that may be tempting us, mortify it, and let us give sincerely without expecting any return, because God already has given to us in Christ Jesus. Tayo po'y manalangin. Dakila naming Diyos, nagpapasalamat kami na maari naming tingnan ang iyong mga pangako na may tamang pananaw, at sana ingatan mo kami sa anumang mga makalaman na pagtingin sa mga pangakong ito, sapagkat napapalibutan kami ng ganitong mga ministeryo, mga pag-aangkin, mga patutuo na ang nagiging dulot lamang ay makalaman para sa amin. Help us, Lord, to beware of these claims which reduce your promises to a business trade-off. This is grossly carnal. And we must approach you when we give with grateful hearts, for you have already given to us the best that you could ever give, and that is your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and His saving work. We pray that you may indeed speak to each one according to his condition. And if there is anything that we need to change in our motive, help us so to do. And grant that we may have that principle that we are approaching you in giving as an act of worship. It is our response to your glory. It is our response to your goodness. And help us to apply that petition taught by Jesus in the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us that satisfaction and peace and contentment for whatever it is that you have given to us, that we may say with the Apostle Paul, I have learned to be abased or to abound, and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So help us in the application of this, even in the matter that you have given to us. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.